Good evening and welcome to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And I hope that you have a sheet with an order of service on it and a red hymnal. If you didn't get those, they're on the tables by either entrance. And just a few notes before we begin. One is that I'm aware it's not August 28th, 2011. I failed to change my template from the previous week. So you haven't grabbed the wrong one. And then a change on where it says the offertory song toward the bottom of the page, on the left side of the page, on the Holy Communion side of the sheet. We're going to sing hymn number 479 there. So just be aware that that is a change, and we'll announce that when we come to that point in the service. Also, the song at the very end of the service, the sending song, Washed and Forgiven, that is a song whose lyrics were written just today by our musician this week, Chris Wagaman, who's sitting at the piano right now. And we should be aware that it uses the same tune as we'll sing at the beginning, the hymn of praise, Glory to God, at the beginning of the service, the same tune. So you'll hear that at the beginning as we gather, and at the end as we're sent forth. And be aware that where it says page numbers, signifying page numbers, those are the small numbers in the bottom of the page in the first half of the hymnal. And where it says song numbers, those signify the hymns, which are in the back half of the hymnal with the large numbers on the top of the page. A word about our communion practice here at Holden. All are welcome to receive the sacrament. And we receive the sacrament in three different stations here, in one on the front of the altar and one on either side. You'll receive the bread, and then the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take one, and the first pitcher will have wine, and the second will have grape juice. Also, if you have gluten allergies, there will be a gluten-free bread option available, and simply indicate that to the person who is distributing the bread. And also, if you do not wish to receive the sacrament, you are still welcome to come forward to receive a blessing, and simply cross your arms in front of your chest to so indicate as you come forward. And with that, let us prepare for worship. The order of confession and forgiveness is found on the reverse side of your order of service sheet. You can remain standing during this portion of the service so that everyone can see the baptismal font. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives our sin, heals every illness, saves from death, enfolds us in tender care, and crowns us with steadfast love. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of abundant mercy, we confess that we are more ready to be forgiven than to forgive others. We hold too closely your gifts to us. We trample your vineyard, our good earth. Have mercy, O God. Turn us again to you and toward others. Grant that we may live for you and die in you, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Brothers and sisters, God is generous and faithful, forgiving sins without number, welcoming all to the feast, giving us a place among the saints. through the humble obedience of Christ Jesus, who went to the cross for our sake, you are forgiven and made whole. The Spirit of God is at work in you, enabling you to live for one another. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please stand as we sing our canticle of praise on page 167 in the front of your hymnal. Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful, and lead us toward all that gives life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
First reading is written in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, 33rd chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquities, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, Thus you have said, Our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Here ends the reading.
Psalm tonight is 119, verses 33 through 40. You can find it in the front 9:30 seconds of your red hymnal. We'll be reading, again, that's Psalm 119, 33 through 40. We'll be reading responsively by whole verse. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end.
Give me understanding, and I shall keep your teaching. I shall keep it with all my heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire. Turn my eyes from beholding falsehood. Give me life in your way.
Fulfill your promise to your servant, which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the reproach that I dread, because your judgments are good.
Behold, I long for your commandments, for your righteousness is my delight.
Second reading is written in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Stand as able, we sing the gospel acclamation found on page 171.
Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said,
If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I ask you to please pray with me. Loving one, may we tonight hear and experience a word of hope that brings us into reconciliation, both with you and with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. If a brother or sister sins against you, go and point it out when the two of you are alone. If they listen to you, you have regained that one. Or as Eugene Peterson puts it in his translation, if a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. When I was 5 years old, I developed what I called a wind-up punch. I must have gotten this from watching Popeye cartoons or something. I really don't know. But I'd windmill my arm around and then punch people as hard as I could. Unfortunately for adult males, my five-year-old self came up to about their groin. On one infamous occasion, my wind-up punch knocked my poor Uncle Rick flat on his back. This wind-up punch was a particularly flagrant example of something going on in human relationships and communities all the time. We hurt each other. We draw blood, literally or emotionally, sometimes intentionally, and sometimes just thoughtlessly. And my five-year-old wind-up punch probably qualified as both. How do we deal with the inevitable conflict that arises in the communities in which we find ourselves? There are lots of options, of course, for dealing with conflict. Fighting, violence, and in the extreme, killing, are one option that are before us all the time in the world. Giving up and walking away is another. In either case, the relationship is broken. The community is fractured and remains so. And we've all experienced this. The question is there another way? Is there a peacemaking path that leads to justice and understanding and reconciliation? It's a pretty live question for all of us. The inability to handle conflict in even a basic grown-up way is taking its toll on our public life in this country. For instance, this past week, there was a high-stakes political kind of gamesmanship going on in Washington, D.C. over the scheduling of a major speech by President Obama. I'm not sure if you heard about this, but Obama wanted to address a joint session of Congress on Wednesday, September 7th, next Wednesday. Protocol is that the president would then request of the House Majority Leader, in this case John Boehner, to convene Congress and make the House chambers available. Boehner's reply was no. This would not be possible. Boehner cited the fact that the House was scheduled for some votes at 6:30 that same day on such urgent issues as naming post offices, and there would not be time to do the security sweep necessary for a presidential speech. A more obvious subtext for the refusal is the fact that a Republican presidential debate is scheduled for that same night. Congressional historians have noted that this is the first time a House Majority Leader has ever refused such a request by a president. The next day, Obama was the first to blink and announced that the speech would be held instead on September 8th. The New York Times noted, for Obama and Boehner, it became a very public game of chicken. At a time when public confidence in Washington to move beyond partisan bickering is at historic lows, the fracas also has the potential to rattle already jittery markets. So how are we to be grown-ups in a world of such tantrums and chicken fights? Here's how Jesus describes it in Matthew chapter 18. I paraphrase. If a brother or sister hurts you, does you wrong, if the bonds of kinship are shaken because of what someone has done, well then, go and speak with them when you are alone. Talk it out between the two of you. If forgiveness is given and received, well, you've gained yourself a friend. If that doesn't work, take others next time, just to keep things honest. If that doesn't work, if they still won't listen, then tell the whole church, it says. And if that doesn't work, Matthew writes, treat them like a Gentile or tax collector, which sounds perhaps rough, but of course, Jesus' own example with Gentiles and tax collectors was to love and hang out with them quite scandalously. As Eugene Peterson puts it, it means starting from scratch, confronting them with the need for repentance and offering them God's forgiving love. So there you have it. There's Jesus' own recipe for doing the hard, everyday work of living at peace with one another in community. Blessed are the peacemakers, and it starts here. What would it mean to be committed to this sort of reconciling dialogue in the relationships and communities in which we find ourselves? What would it change? How would it change how you handle the conflicts that you are currently experiencing? I'm guessing there's no one in this room who can't call to mind conflicts that they are currently experiencing. What would it mean, further, to know that when you hurt another person, that the conflict will be handled with such care for understanding and the goal for reconciliation? John Howard Yoder, the late Mennonite theologian, reflected on this passage, this very passage, in a book that he wrote partly at Holden Village in the 1980s, a book called Body Politics. And he writes about this passage, to be human is to have differences. To be human wholesomely is to process those differences, not by building up conflicting power claims, but by reconciling dialogue. Conflict, he writes, is socially useful. It forces us to attend to new data from new perspectives. It's useful in interpersonal process. By processing conflict, one learns skills, awareness, trust, and hope. Conflict is useful also in intrapersonal dynamics, protecting our concern about guilt and acceptance from being directed only inwardly to our own feelings. The therapy for guilt is forgiveness. The source of self-esteem is another person who takes seriously my restoration to community. Conflict is socially useful. I like that. Of course, when conflict is handled like Obama and Boehner did this week, it doesn't do any social good at all. But when we seek reconciling dialogue, it forces us to go deeper, to speak to one another, to speak with one another with even greater candor and care, to listen more deeply, and to grow together, maintaining that spirit of unity in the bond of peace. During the middle of every service here on Sunday evening, after the sermon and just before the Holy Communion, we share a sign of peace. At Holden, we do a lot of hugging at this point. This is more than just a friendly hello. We are saying the peace of Christ, the peace that passes all understanding, the wholeness and well-being named by the Hebrew word shalom, be with you. And as we share this sign and blessing of peace, we're also saying to the person to whom we are speaking that we are at peace with one another. And if we've been in conflict, we're now reconciled. And if it's clear that we're not at peace with someone, that we're not reconciled, then we're also reminded that there is work of reconciling dialogue yet to be done. As we then come to Holy Communion, we do so with the prayer of being made one reconciled body in Christ. Working out conflicts with one another is always difficult, and I can't say I'm particularly good at it. But we can engage in such work, I believe, with great confidence. Wind-up punches, or however it is that we hurt one another, are not unhealable wounds in our relationships with one another. The Christ who calls us to work out our conflicts with one another is the same one who has called and formed us in this life together in the first place, and who promises to be right there in our midst as we come together to work things out, forgiving our sins, even as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Amen. Please stand as able. We sing hymn 603.
Thank you.
seeking the renewal of the Holy Spirit in our communities and in the world. We pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Holy and life-giving God, unite your people in a life of righteousness and loving kindness. And when we find ourselves in conflict with a sister or brother, give us the capacity to engage in reconciling dialogue that makes forgiveness and reconciliation possible. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As this nation celebrates Labor Day tomorrow, we ask that you would be with workers everywhere, that working conditions would safeguard the health of workers and the environment, and that workers everywhere would be justly rewarded for their labor. We pray especially for the workers in the mine cleanup project here in Railroad Creek Valley. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
When we look at the political life in our world, there is so much to pray for, more than we can ever name. The people of Libya and Syria and Egypt, for the people of the U.S.-Mexico border and those affected by the violence of drug trafficking and gangs, for the health of our planet and for the courage of our leaders to take steps to protect it. Be with all in positions of power, that they would make decisions that lead to justice and peace, and that safeguard the lives of the society's most vulnerable people. Lord, in your mercy. Make the presence of Christ known among those who are ill, grieving, and brokenhearted. Bring your gifts of healing and wholeness to all who are sick and suffering, including Aaron Grieg, a former Holden staff member who was recently diagnosed with leukemia, as well as those we name before you now, either silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant a spirit of thankfulness to all whose daily needs are met. Give hope to those who are unemployed or underemployed. Bind us together in service to one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we recall the lives of the saints who have revealed Christ to us, open our eyes to see his face in those gathered with us. Strengthen our faith in his ongoing work of redemption. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, holy God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share a sign of that peace.
With God, Son. that's worse off than you. Be grateful.
Be grateful.
Because there's someone else that loves to be in your shoes. Be grateful.
Be grateful.
God said he'd never, never forsake you. Be grateful.
Be grateful.
Oh, God said he said he would never leave you. Be grateful.
Be grateful.
Be grateful.
Be grateful.
Hallelujah. Be grateful.
Be grateful.
Be
please stand as the gifts are brought forward. We sing hymn 476.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. I invite the young children to come forward and gather around the altar to get a front row seat. If you want to come right up. Come around to the side. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all those who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now we are bold to pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, Lord, this is Christ's table and not our own. A table where all are guests and all are welcome. Come now, for all things are ready. Please stand as able.
Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us with the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in this world, that more and more we will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen. Our sending song is on the reverse side of your order of service. The introduction will play both the refrain and the verse, and then we'll start in, recalling that it is the same tune with which we began the service.
Go in peace, remember the poor.